Hello, I'm Harry Bucknell. In March 1944, speaking in the House of Commons, Prime Minister Winston Churchill said that the object of giving medals was to give pride and pleasure to those who deserved them. This is a set of medals, not a very distinguished set as it happens. But nonetheless, they are important to a lot of people who wear them around the country, at formal occasions, regimental reunions, and of course, Remembrance Sunday. They mean something to a lot of people. Like an Olympic medal, they are hard earned and hard fought for, often on long, grueling days and under arduous circumstances on operations, overseas, away from loved ones, and often at great expense and cost to life too. Their story is on their chest. That's how people wear their medals, on their chest. And so in the next five programmes, with arms military expert Mark Smith from the Antiques Roadshow, we'll be discussing the evolution of the medal and how it came to be from the Battle of Edge Hill in 1642 to the present day. Mark, how great to see you, and thanks so much for coming along. And here we are at Wellington Barracks, two former military men with the F Company Scots colours behind us there, the Queen's colour, the regimental colour, who fought gallantly in the Falklands War. And we're going to talk now about medals for this special podcast, their stories on their chest, for ABF, the Soldiers' Charity. And we're going to start with the Battle of Edge Hill in 1642, is that right?
That's absolutely correct. Medals are quite new to the British Army, to be honest. The Army's been around for years and years, and the Navy years and years, but medals as we know them is different. This one here, as you say, this is 1642, and it's the Battle of Edge Hill. Now, it's not really a medal. It's a recruiting token. I'll tell you what, it's a bit like these things that we wear to show that we support something. Yeah. We support something. So the guy who got that is being given it to bolster him so that he can show off to his friends. But it's not really a medal. As time goes on, medals are still not something that we give out to people. But what tends to happen is that the people are given, the best way of describing it, are coins. The problem with them is that it is genuinely a coin. It is a round thing, and you put it in your pocket. The chaps themselves are really quite proud of these things. So what they started to do was to drill holes in them and wear them around their neck. Now, the first one that we've got on the table here, this is for the Battle of the Nile, 1798. So this is a very long time ago now. The next one, this one here, is for Trafalgar. That was a very famous battle. We'll come back to that one in a second. And the next one here that we can see is the medal for the Battle of Seringapatam in 1799. Now, one of the things about this is that there is an enormous social divide during this time. So if you're rich, you're rich. If you're poor, you're poor. And this is reflected in these coins. Because if you were a general or an admiral, when you got given your coin, it was made of solid gold. If you were a private soldier or an ordinary sailor, then it's made of something that they called white metal, which we would call pewter. So there is that social divide between who fought in the battle and your station in life. Now, some of the guys were very, very proud of these things, and we're quite lucky in that, because what they started to do, like this one here for Trafalgar, is they actually started to have them engraved with their name. I don't know if you can just see that on there. So what that actually says is Joshua Fountain, HMS Polyphemus. Now, HMS Polyphemus is the last ship in Collingwood's line. So Nelson split them into two. Nelson's column was led by HMS Victory. And if you're going to collect medals, honestly, you really want to be as close to Nelson as you can, because that's where the action was. And Polyphemus is just about as far away as you can get from any of the battle. I mean, it takes it hours to even just sail into the battle area. However, when the battle was over, Nelson was dead, and Victory had been dismasted and destroyed almost. It was HMS Polyphemus that towed Victory back to dock. And you just have to imagine that Joshua Fountain, he saw Victory, yes, as it came out of action. And who knows, he may even have seen, you know, the body of Nelson as it was taken off of the ship. Yeah. So just for once, we're gonna say now, we've got this little time machine that takes us from here all the way back to that day in 1805. Yes. And now we know the name of a man. And one of the big things about medals is knowing the name of the man. In the Egyptian Book of the Dead, so the mummies that you see in the British Museum, one of the last pages in the Book of the Dead says, "Speak my name and I shall live forever." And that's what we're doing with these medals. That's how we're doing it. Now, some of these medals have also got a bit of irony about them as well, because if you look at this one here, this one, as we say, is for the Battle of Seringapatam, 1799, which is against a guy called Sultan Tipu. Now, Sultan Tipu was a ruler in a place called Mysore in India, and he absolutely hated the British being in his country. And he found out that the British were fighting the French. So he sent an envoy to Napoleon and basically said to Napoleon, "If you come and help me fight the British, I will give you some of my riches." So a race starts. And actually, the Battle of the Nile is part of that race, because the French are moving down from France into Europe, into Egypt and Africa, on the way to India. That's what this battle is about. It's about men moving towards India. The race starts. Will the French arrive or the British get to Sultan Tipu first? And we win the race, the British. 7th of May, 1799, we attack Sultan Tipu at Seringapatam. We beat him, we kill him, and we really, really kill him.
And but Tipu Sultan was a significant adversary for the British, wasn't he? He was a master.
Hugely so. I mean, some of the things that he invented would actually be the seed of things that we are still using today, because he had incredible ideas about weaponry and how to form armies. For example, Sultan Tipu was one of the first people to wear like a tactical recognition flash. All of his soldiers wore the badge of a tiger. He was fanatical about tigers. In the British Museum, there is a clockwork tiger made of wood. It still works, it roars, and it's grim, this bit, but it's tearing the throat out of a European. And that was one of his toys in the palace. His soldiers were issued with daggers, which were made in the shape of the black stripe of the tiger. So we can also play this game. So if you look at the medal, it is the British lion killing a tiger.
Yeah, very much so.
So we've carried on that idea about the tiger, but now we're the victors.
So Mark, what happened next? Now the medal's become established, what happened next?
So actually there's a big gap now. In India, there's the Honourable East India Company, which isn't part of the British Army. It's a company which has its own army, and they actually start to give out medals to people. And I know we're going to do some more of this at a later update, and I'll show you some of those later on. But for the British, nothing. There's Waterloo, and then there's a big gap. In 1847, Queen Victoria asks a question, and she says, what medals do we have for the men who fought at the Battle of Trafalgar? And she's told, well, ma'am, there's a coin. And she says, well, okay, what about the men who fought in the peninsula with Wellington? And again, they say, well, there are some coins and some crosses, but there are no medals. So in 1847, Queen Victoria invents something that soldiers today will understand. She invents the General Service Medal. So she invents two. She invents the Military General Service Medal, which is going to cover the period from 1793 to 1814. Year before Waterloo, and then she invents the Naval General Service Medal, which covers the period 1793 to 1840. She does this in 1847, and what they have to do is they have to write out to all of the regiments and say, we need you to tell us who was with you at various battles, because just in the peninsula, I think there's something like 26 battles that they could have got a clasp for. And the concept is going to be that what you're going to get is a medal, which is exactly the same all the time, but then you're going to get these little clasps sewn onto the ribbon, and they're going to give you the names of the battles. The problem with this is that in 1847, 1793, remember, is a very long time before that, you still had to be alive yourself to claim your medal. So if you were 50 years old in 1793 at the Battle of the 1st of June 1794 in the Royal Navy, by the time you get to 18, no. So some of these medals are incredibly rare just because of the length of time it took people to actually be still alive to claim the medals that they had.
Yeah.
This one on the end, this is Queen Victoria's second sort of stab at a general service medal. So we now have the naval general service and the military. And then she comes up with this one. Now, this one didn't come out until 1851. So this is a very long time after the battles it represents, because this is called the Army of India Medal. And this covers the period from 1800 to 1824. Now, not only do you still need to be alive in 1851, it's a long time. And remember, they didn't live that. Like we did in those days. Yeah. But also remember that you're fighting in India where all the disease is.
Yeah.
So this one are very, very rare. But some of them are almost unheard of that people claimed the clasp for them.
Did that go to Indian soldiers too, or just to British soldiers?
Both. Indian soldiers as well. Excellent. And members of the Honourable East India Company, whose soldiers had moved in one of the presidencies into to helping fight whatever battle it may have been. But now we have a sort of a starting point now, because Queen Victoria has sorted out the wars just before her, and now we're going to look at the reign of Queen Victoria and some of the most incredible wars that the British Army have fought throughout the 1800s. So that's going to be our next step.
From coins to medals, we see how under Victoria, the medal gained in status and officialdom. In the next programme, with their stories on their chests, a special podcast for ABF, the Soldiers' Charity, we see how the medal develops further into India, the Crimea, and the recognition of bravery. Thank you, Mark.
Pleasure.